This is URN.
A gene map for depression has sparked hopes for a new generation of treatment for the condition. A 200-strong team of researchers from across the globe have mapped the genetic variants that increase the risk of people getting depression. By tripling the number of gene regions linked to depression, scientists now hope to understand more about why disorder strikes some but not others, even when they have had similar life experiences. The work could also help in the search for drugs to treat the condition, which affects as many as 1 in 4 people over a lifetime. Previous work with twins suggests that genetics explains about 40% of depression, with the rest being driven by either biological factors and life experiences. If people are ranked according to the number of genetic risk factors for depression they carry, those in the top 10% are 2.5 times more likely to experience depression than those in the bottom 10%. While scientists have found 44 gene variants linked to depression, these are only a small fraction of the total because many more will have had too small an effect to be discovered in this latest study. So in the study, basically researchers have gleaned genetic information from about 135,000 people who have reported having depression, and then 345,000 mentally healthy individuals. The scientists, they compared the DNA across these two groups to find that there were genetic variants that were more common in those with depression. So the findings have also suggested that there are links between anxiety, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder to having depression, and found that where DNA predisposes people to obesity, this also increases the chances of people having depression. However, it'll take more research to confirm that the gene variants found in the study and really linked to depression, as many of the participants involved in the research are self-reported having depression rather than being clinically assessed as having depression. So this means that some of the gene variants that these scientists linked to depression could turn out not to be involved in the disorder at all. So I guess the first question I've got to ask everyone is, although this research is in its early stages at the moment, do we think this is beneficial for people currently suffering with depression, or will it actually benefit people further down the line, say in 5 to 10 years time, because this research is really much in its kind of early stages right now?
So like you say, yeah, it's in like its baby steps, but like any move forward in terms of helping mental health is a good step. I'm certain one day it could help people who are already suffering from depression, if like even just in terms of with a therapist, not even on like a medical level, it could help a therapist go through the get to the root of a problem. Then of course there is like the medical side of it, like do we know anything about like treatments this could lead to?
All it says at the moment is that it's going to lead to different pharmaceutical companies coming up with kind of different drugs and different methods to try and deal with different kind of gene abnormalities within people, which would then help certain like areas of their brain function more, basically. So I guess at the moment the pharmaceutical companies, they haven't got enough research yet to start developing these drugs, but I think the argument kind of put forward by a lot of scientists is that in like 5 to 10 years time it's gonna help a lot of people because it'll be entering kind of like the NHS and hospital services, basically. So yeah, it's a really good step in the right direction, basically.
Yeah, like Jamie said, that really every step towards solving an issue as pressing and as massive as mental health is a great step forward. And even if there is a wait for the research, once a certain possibility is announced, you know, scientifically, research expands. It's not one road, it branches off into hundreds. There'll be, you know, all over the world there will be developments, there'll be research. This will create a whole new field of academia, likely, because this links to psychology, it's biology. There's so many areas and so many scientists in the world who will start to advance this. And I think what's significant about that is, you know, mental health, particularly pertinent to depression, is a humongously important thing. A lot of people suffer from it. You know, increasingly in a day and age of mass consumerism and technology, everyone is envious or everyone is jealous, and it's very easy to get caught up in, you know, for a normal person, it's very easy to get caught up in other people's lives on Facebook or Instagram, and even for, you know, world leaders, there is a culture of lambasting and hatred that comes online towards lots of people, and we've seen it. People can't cope with fame. It's much the same reason, it's an interesting point, as with Avicii. Recently his family announced that he was struggling mentally, and you know, that was part of the one of the contributing factors to his death. So actually there is a massively significant role of mental health in the world today, and actually any you know, the presumed solution to it is of course psychological, because it's mental health, but there are biological, you know, preconditions that can make a person more likely to have a certain issue, and if that can be sorted, if those problems can be quashed before they cause a problem in the first place, then fantastic.
Also, you mentioned Avicii. There was Fern Troyer just like a few days ago. That was I don't think it was a rumor. Like, that was very strongly believed to be suicide.
Yeah, and it really is. There is a massive culture, and like I said, it's within a world that we live in now, where a lot of people base themselves and their actions on those of others, so it's easy to get caught up in envy.
I think another thing that's really positive and progressive out of this research and this developing research is linking science to mental health issues, because although obviously there's so much of it is to do with psychology and surroundings and how you're brought up and things that happen to you, I think a lot of the things that get pushed over are how biological impacts do affect mental health. And I think the more that that is a publicised thing, and the more that the media and just kind of the general public accept and talk about the fact that science links to mental health, that it, you know, people, someone's not depressed just because something happened in their life, you know, and it, something doesn't have to happen in your life for you to become depressed or for other mental health issues to arise. Yeah. It is often, you know, more often than not, due to biology.
The fact that people suffer from depression at different levels of severity and with different causes is what's made it so difficult to like treat it over the years.
I guess, yeah, that kind of brings us on to our next question, whereas because in the report it said that these new findings suggest that depression is caused 40% by biological factors. So if scientists can kind of research these biological factors more, do you think this will kind of encourage a new wave of people to come out and say they are depressed because they have kind of scientific evidence, or if it's kind of like inherited or it's something within their brain, that they can kind of come forward instead of hiding from it and kind of overcome the stigma around mental health at the moment?
Yeah, I think a byproduct of, like I said, the age we live in being so proclivical to mental health problems is this culture that's saying people need to be more open. And I think, you know, when there's a biological link formed to something like depression, people might feel less embarrassed to admit it. Mm-hmm. You know, people might be less, and it is, I think, a lot of the time, you know, men have a big problem. There's a massive campaign, you know, talking about it, and I personally try, and you know, if I feel like a friend is having problems, I know that certain friends I have might not speak as much or might not be as open to speak about things like that. So, you know, you try and milk it out of them, and it's part of understanding each other. And I think the importance of knowing the origin of a mental health problem, whether biological, psychological, both in most cases, is massively helpful. It's entirely conducive to progress in solving these problems.
In terms of like what can be done now, because this is still in its early stages, like there are different campaigns like you mentioned. I think if we can work on removing the stigma ourselves before it's even like we get to the point with this medication, that's also a massive step we as a culture can take. Well, there's been a lot of talk about, I mentioned the celebrities earlier, I think there was a world leader, wasn't there, in South America that also came forward? Yeah. So stuff like that as well, the more that comes forward, the more that can change people's perceptions, as it's like, oh, it's not just like these stereotypes that people have of people who suffer from depression, it's also people who are like rich or successful or powerful.
Mm-hmm. I think you just touched on a subject that I realised when you said about medication and removing the stigma before that. That's definitely a thing, not just for the wider public, but for people who are suffering from depression. I know of a few cases, and I'm sure sadly there's more, of people who may have been diagnosed with depression or people who are depressed that are afraid to take medication. And because there is a big stigma around people being on things like antidepressants because of this kind of general societal stigma against it being scientific and related to that. So I think hopefully also research like this means that there's going to be more research into effective and generally side effect free antidepressants, so people can feel like there's things that can be taken that isn't scary and damaging to their body.
This is URN.